it to you, Deesa. You smooth, eat me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Good morning. I don't even know if you can hear me.
I pray that you can. Can somebody let me know if you can hear me? Just in the chat room, just say okay.
This morning, I am sitting here in my new sanctuary studio. It was rigged up by me. Praise God. How does the sound sound? By the way, I can't hear it. I'm gonna have to get me a microphone. I mean, some earphones. Cause I got a new microphone, and I'm assuming that it's working. I got some new equipment, all new equipment. I'm sitting here in front of all new equipment, and I'm not quite, but I've been working on it a long time. I've been working on it a very long time. And I'm happy to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I sanctify, set this equipment apart solely for your use, solely for you, God. I bless it. I give it back to you. I'm asking you, anoint it, use it, and this is just the beginning. Amen. So this is one other thing that I've been working on all this time. And it's not quite tweaked to perfection, but it will be. It will be. And I'm happy to say it's up. It's working. So let me try. I want to try one more thing. I want to try to play something directly from the Blog Talk playlist. And then I'm gonna share something with you. I'm gonna get caught up, but I didn't even talk about this because I didn't want to give the enemy any opportunity to get in it and destroy anything. So I've just been quietly working.
Somebody say it's the blood. It's the blood. If you would learn how to plead the blood over your family, if you would learn how to plead the blood over your children, you would see a transformation like never before. Somebody just say, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh. Come on, this is the stuff we used to do for communion. Yeah. These are the songs that carried us. It washes away. Come on, sing it like it's Sunday morning. Say, oh, the blood.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Oh,
back again. Jesus has gone away. Don't worry, he's coming back. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, say it again. Jesus has gone away, yeah. He's coming back again. I can't wait to see him. He's coming back again. He's gone away, but he's coming back again. Hey, how many of y'all remember this one right here? Listen, watch this. I said there is power. Yeah. Where is it? In the blood. Come on and sing it. Power. And it's in. Oh, you don't sound like you convinced it. There is power. Power. Yes, it is. It's in the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and sing it. You know this, listen. And there is healing. Yeah. It's in the blood. You can find it in the blood of Jesus. There's healing. Yeah. Yeah. It's in the. And just in case the devil stole it from you, there is your joy. And it's in the blood. Telling me I can find joy, wonder working, yeah, in the presence. Now, listen, tell me, what can wash away your sins? Yeah, I got some testimonies on this side.
I'm going to share something with you now. You know, it's nothing like being with somebody who's been there, okay? It's like when you're in the car and you're going on a trip. It's nothing like having somebody in the car with you who knows the route. Even although you're using your Garmin, you done mapped it out on your Google Maps, but it ain't nothing like having somebody in the car with you who could say, oh, no, don't go that way. Go this way. You know, I went before, and that ain't the way, but look, here's the way we're going to go, and it's nothing like having somebody who's saying, we're going to take this way here. Because if we go this way, we can go around the trouble that's over there. I'm one of those kind of people. You know, I'm one of those ones that we be sitting in the car going somewhere. And I'll say, Brother Joe, don't go that way. They say they made that way as a shortcut, but it ain't no shortcut. Take the straight route. Take the straight route right down I-75. I guarantee you we'll get there faster and safer, too. So listen to this. Every since, I'm just using this as a point of reference, but it's a good point of reference. Because God works with me through deliverance of people. That's why I understand what's in people so well, because for 31 years, I've been dealing with what's in people. And to put it more specifically, I've been dealing with the evil and the bad that's in people. And my job, when I deal with the evil and the bad that is in people, then God brings the good of them out for his purpose and according to his plan. So for 31 years, I have dealt with the bad, the evil, and the ugly in people. And for 31 years, God has a, when I meet a person, I don't even see some of them as they really are in front of me, because God won't allow me to see that. He'll show me the finished product. He'll show me what is in the person that he is trying to get out, and the goodness of himself in them. So for 31 years, my job has been to totally look past and work beyond what I see with my natural eyes and work towards the implementation of what God is showing me in that person or in that situation. And what I see happening now is I see and it's happening fast too. I see God bringing this together for me now in a explainable way, in an explainable way that is probably not as offensive as hardcore and as offensive as some of you think I can be, but I'm really not. But I'm seeing it come together with understanding, because what God is making elementary school clear to me is what you believe is reflected by what you do, brothers and sisters. What you believe is reflected by what you do. Who you are tomorrow is the result of what you believe and what you do today. That's Can you post that in the chat room? What you believe is reflected by what you do. And who you are tomorrow is the result of what you believe and do today. You got that? Who you are tomorrow is the result of what you believe and do today. So you got to kind of help me a little bit this morning by posting these scriptures, because God brought clarity and understanding to a lot. Over the past 2 months, I've been fighting for my life. You understand that? Ever since, I mean, the battle escalated. And when I shared with you the warning I gave you, I'm serious. I'm very serious. Because I have been attacked every day, every night, ever since I cast out that gypsy and destroyed that gypsy curse that came from Baltimore, Maryland. From that very day, every night, I've been attacked. And I mean, the attacks got worse and worse and worse. And I fought, got up, did this show, dealt with people in the daytime. I'm talking about under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about under the power of God. I have been able, in the past, it got really bad. During the month of my birth month, the devil was telling me, you know, you're going to die today. I said, okay, we'll see. If I do, I'm going to be with Jesus. If I don't, I'm still going to be with Jesus, so you're not going to win either way. That's what I told the devil. Some days the battle was worse than others. Other days the battle was easier than others. Some days, I got hit with things that were supposed to weaken my faith. That's what it was all about. They were supposed to cause my faith in God to weaken, not destroy it, because the devil knows he cannot destroy it. But you see, the devil, if he can weaken you to the point where he can just get you any little bit in your mind to come into agreement with him, he got you. He got you. So what God did, he sent some of the strongest battles that I was going to have to fight. And they were other folks' battles, not mine. But you see, the body of Christ, if it's your battle, it's my battle too. And then on top of that, he had somebody right here that had been fighting me for how many years, Jose? 8 years every day. Y'all hear me? The demons in Jose have been fighting me every day for 8 years. And God in his mercy, what Jose didn't understand is this. Jose introduced me to his father over the phone. And this father didn't say to me, I don't know. Your father spoke perfect English, didn't he? Perfect English, right? Because Jose's dad was a very educated man. He was head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Ecuador. And I led Jose's father to the Lord Jesus. And what Jose forgot, or it went over his head, Jose's dad asked me to watch out for Jose. And then Jose's dad passed. So I had made
I had told Jose's daddy before he died that I would watch out for his son. Now, that was not watch out for him in the natural because he's a grown man. But the Lord had me come into agreement with Jose's daddy that I would watch out for Jose, and I was with Jose when his dad passed over the phone. You remember that?
Yeah.
You were in the hospital? With his brother, you and your brother. So that when I agreed to do that for his dad, I know something that a lot of people don't care much about these days. But I am a loyal person. I know loyalty. So when I made that commitment to his dad, and then his dad went on to glory, and I know he went to glory because I led him to the Lord. He was a Catholic. But I meant that when I told his dad I would do that. You understand where I'm coming from this morning? In doing that, in making that commitment, I had to fight a demon in Jose against me every day for 8 years. And guess what? Jose finally, I mean, the hell I've been through, nobody should have to go through that unless they want to, unless they commit to God to do it. And then when you commit to God to do it, you have to do it. I mean, every kind of sabotage, spiritual stabbing, spiritual destruction, went through it. And just now, coming out of it. On top of that, now that's what I'm catching. So a lot of times you tell me you're going through something, I have a pretty good idea. When I tell you I'm sharing with you, I got a pretty good idea. Not only Jose, other people I wanted to bring here, and I wanted to train them. Them too. One person came here for training, and another person here did what I'm about to explain to you, manipulated them, and did mind control on them. And the next thing I knew, this person was serving them when, in all my teaching, I teach you don't have to serve but one person, that's Jesus. But you see, so many people, due to their own whatever, they won't be served. They won't be worshipped. They won't become a goddess or a god in somebody's life. Why am I going that way? Because I got something to tell you. I got something to tell you. I got something to tell you this morning. And this is it. If you can only talk about something and not have your life match the words that are coming out of your own mouth, then you are deceived. You hear me? I said, if you can only talk about something and not have your life match your words, then you are deceived. You see, the Bible says in Titus, can somebody post Titus 1 and 10 for me? I was going so fast and I'm not done. Because God will allow you to live something and then break it down to you, showing you you've overcome it and you don't have to go through that anymore.
Titus 1 and 10. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers. The Bible says, I don't see it up here in the chat room. Oh, maybe because I'm just getting used to this new equipment, so bear with me. Titus, this is two different translations here. For there are many rebellious men who are empty talkers, just windbags and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, those Jews who insist that Gentile believers must be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. The Bible says, we perish and suffer loss because we do not want the truth. Now, this one here kind of got me a little bit, and I had to say, really, God? Really? You see, the Holy Spirit says there is an evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. How about going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10? I want to free you up. God can't flow through you with all that garbage. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There's an evil. This is all spiritual, by the way. This evil deceives those that are perishing. And they're perishing because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Until we begin to acknowledge the truth, that our lives are not being lived in the reality and the prosperity that God desires, we will never emerge from the deceptive reality that we're living in and be able to walk into the true reality that God has for us. You see, change will only come in your life when you believe that there's a better something. A better something, whatever that something is. Now, I want you to post this. I need 7 people to post each one of these. Okay? A lawmaker cannot be a lawbreaker. That's for our government. A lawmaker cannot be a lawbreaker. Now, this is the spiritual environment we're living in right now. So you got to fight that. You got to rebuke that. You got to keep that out of your soul. And the second thing is, a good leader also be a good follower. A good leader must also be a good follower. Those who say they have the truth are able to walk in love towards those who lack the truth. Those who say they have the truth will be able to walk in love towards those who lack the truth. Now I want you to post this. The truth carriers. Truth carriers will not be in bondage to their emotions. Carriers will not be in bondage to any addictions. Truth carriers will not be in bondage to their flesh. Truth carriers will not be in bondage to lust. Truth carriers will not be in bondage to the world. And truth carriers will not be in bondage to temporary desires. Why, you might ask? Well, here's why. Because truth carriers are empowered to overcome through the knowledge of the truth. Did you hear me? Truth carriers are able to live for more than just the present moment. You see, in this walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are times when any believer, anyone who follows Christ can become an open door or a tool of the enemy. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Peter experienced a moment like that. Peter had been with Jesus. Peter had seen healings. Peter had seen the feeding of thousands. Peter had seen demons cast out. Peter had seen Jesus call fish into a net that they could be caught, pulled out the water, and eaten. Peter had heard Jesus teach many times. Peter had even just confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Peter had experienced the revelation of God through Jesus. And Peter was commended by Jesus that upon the revelation and his confession, the church would be built. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter thought that he was standing firm, that everything was great. However, in one instant, Peter became a tool of the devil. The Bible says from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. You see, Peter took Jesus aside, and Peter began to rebuke him. The devil in Peter began to try to manipulate Jesus. I say the devil in Peter, the disciple, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, his closest, one of his closest companions, said, "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." The Bible says that Jesus turned and said to Peter, now he did not address Peter's flesh. He didn't even address Peter's soul. Jesus talked directly to the spirit that had manifested and was operating through Peter. Jesus told that spirit, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Matthew 16:21. The question is, what is it? How could that be? Peter opened a door, living with Christ, eating with him, sleeping with him, walking with him, talking with him. Peter opened a door to be used by Satan against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think Peter was comfortable in the circumstances and the environment around him. Peter was now considered a leader, and Peter had some influence. But this alone, brothers and sisters, didn't open the door to the enemy. What opened the door to the enemy was that, put this in the chat room, Peter felt threatened by change. Did you hear me? What caused Peter to open the door to Satan? Living with Jesus, being with Jesus, eating, sleeping, laughing in the space, was that Peter felt threatened by change. You see, Jesus began to teach that he wouldn't be around any longer. And Peter was in his place of influence only because of the words of Jesus. If Jesus left, Peter's influence could diminish also. What opened the door for Satan to work through Peter is that Peter felt threatened. Possible loss of his comfort, his influence, his position. This, brothers and sisters, is what opened the door for the enemy. And once the door was open, Peter, disciple of God, servant of Jesus, became a tool of the devil. Peter took Jesus aside with what a manipulative spirit. So what domination, manipulation, and control equal what? Peter had it. Peter consulted with Jesus. Surely this couldn't happen to Jesus. Put this in the chat room. This, brothers and sisters, is what you call false portrayal of loyalty. False portrayal of loyalty. True loyalty will lay down a personal agenda for the sake of another. False loyalty will always say words that seek to protect an individual, but they're motivated by personal agenda. The Bible clearly tells us that as believers, our greatest battles are always going to be battles of the spirit. Battles waged cannot see the enemy, where we cannot feel the enemy, where we cannot touch the enemy. However, the impact of the enemy is real. That's why the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And that's why the Bible says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers and the authorities of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms or in the spiritual realms. Brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, you got to expect that any time you decide to do the will and the plan and the purpose of God, that the devil is going to seek out to sidetrack and derail you from your walk of love and obedience to the will of God. The Bible says, be controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Your enemy will seek out a person or people within your life that he can use as a tool or tools against you. I don't have to seek them out. God sends them to me. The same way I mentioned earlier about the gypsy. That was a force. That was deeper than a stronghold. That was spiritual wickedness in high places. And the minute God sent it here, for it to be overcome, don't you know all hell broke loose? A strategy, a deep-seated, deep-rooted stumbling block of Satan was plucked up, was destroyed. Hallelujah, but you got to remember, higher level, higher devil, higher angelic forces are going to step forward because they have been rooted out. They have been forced up. That level has been overcome. So the devil begins to look for anywhere it can find disobedience to the word of God. Anywhere find rebelliousness that it can put in one of its own to begin to wreak havoc there. You see, what the devil is also looking for is this, found in Ephesians, found in Romans. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. You see, the devil has his own plans and his own schemes. Did you hear what I said? He begins to look for someone who fits this description in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. For someone that didn't think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. So then God gives them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. We must be aware that that is an open door in the believer that the devil is always looking for. You're going to do it your way and not God's way. And you think your way is right because after God keeps on, he just turns you over to you, whatever in your own mind. 1 Thessalonians say, causing them to believe a lie. In order for Satan not to cause you to live in the deception of your own mind, like I said when I first started talking about all this, you cannot be a lawbreaker and a lawmaker at the same time. You cannot lead God and follow God at the same time. It doesn't work. I didn't like to use that word, but you're right. A reprobate mind. Reprobate. The Bible says that we're not ignorant. We're not unaware of Satan's schemes. Brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians 2:11. You see, the other thing that the devil is looking for in the believer, they don't use the word a lot, but the devil is always looking for a manipulative spirit. A manipulative spirit. In the Bible, they don't just come out and say manipulative spirit, but they say words like witchcraft, religious spirit, spirits of death, Jezebel spirit. And they even use words like the spirit of the Pharisees. But you know what? Clearly, they're all spirits of manipulation and or control. It's a negative spirit that seeks to control everything and everyone that it encounters. And this spirit can be found anywhere where you have a bunch of people that have personal agendas. Jezebel used lies to control Ahab and seek to destroy God's people. Manipulation is found a lot in people who are insecure in their identity in Christ. And they seek their security through a false control of others. Now this spirit seeks to use others for its own personal gain. Instead of living a life of love and desiring to build others up, deceiving, manipulative spirit is on assignment to tear others down in order to build itself up. And because this battle is raging in the spirit, we believers, overcomers, fight this battle also. That is why, brothers and sisters, we have to put on that full armor of God every day, so that when the day of evil comes, you're already covered. When the day of evil comes, and it's coming, you can stand your ground. And after you've done everything else, you can stand, and you can stand firm. 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 With the helmet of salvation covering your head. With the belt of truth around your waist. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, you can take up your shield of faith. You can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. You can fight and you can win this deceptive spirit of manipulative control. You can only win it when you yourself are secure in Christ. You see, we win when we fight with the spirit of truth, with the spirit of love, with all the fruit and the gifts, because faith is a fruit and it's a gift. You can win with the character and the nature of Jesus because you're fighting to establish the light of God in the place where darkness and evil is reigning. You see, if your own perception of reality that you live in is not real, if you are deceived, if you have believed and changed your life based upon any lies that any other person ever used to you for their own personal gain. If you've been guilty, instead of living a life of love and desiring to build others up, if you have manipulated to tear down any other person, to try to build yourself up, you've already lost the battle. And you need to repent, call it what it is, and change. Today, it's been exposed to you. Today, it's being exposed to you right now. You see, a deceived, manipulative, controlling person is a person who understands both the truth and the lie. It's a person that came to the conclusion that they dislike the truth and they distort it into a lie so that whatever their personal agenda is would be accomplished. Brothers and sisters, it is time, past time, that we stop deceiving ourselves. You see, sometimes we are so emotionally wounded, and we refuse to deal with the pain in our own heart. So we close the door to hearing anything related to the source of that pain because we refuse to consider that it might hurt for a minute, but it's going to feel good for a lifetime. Sometimes we've been so deeply wounded that lying and manipulation has been our only bridge, or so we thought. But what you have done is that you have allowed the window of your pain to distort your present reality and cause you to walk through a doorway of deception. Brothers and sisters, God says there are ways to see this deception that's at work in our lives. God says in 1 John 1 and 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see your own shortcomings, then you are deceived. If you live for your own passions and desires only, then you are deceived. If there is hatred in your life, you are deceived. The Bible says, at one time, we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. The Bible says we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. It is Titus chapter 3, verse 3. You don't have to continue. You don't have to be afraid of change. You don't have to lose your influence. It's a trick. It's a trick. Change. Change. It's all predicated on fear and the influence of fear of losing something you can never, ever lose because you didn't give it to yourself. Fear of losing what God gave you is insane.
Told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough.
Ready for that?
God,
in the heart.